Candidate forum put on by the Moberly Randolph County League of Women Voters. Three races will be featured this evening as we get you set for Election Day on Tuesday. And without any further ado, let's go to the podium and Cassie Bogalski and Stephanie Lunsford.
Good evening and welcome to the Moberly Randolph County League of Women Voters Candidate Forum. Tonight's forum is being broadcast by Quix 1230 Radio, and it will also be covered by Eric Clyburn with the Monitor Index and streamed live on our League of Women Voters Moberly and Randolph County Facebook page. Please turn off or silence all cell phones, just like at the movies, please, folks. The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan group that works to promote informed and active participation by citizens in our government. Tonight, we conduct this candidate forum in preparation for the general election to be held on April 2nd, 2019. League members here tonight can be identified with our nifty little name tags. I'm Cassie Bogalski, and I will be your moderator. Stephanie Lunsford will have questions for the candidates tonight. Cheryl Allen and Connie Asbury, I'm sorry, Nancy Copenhaver, substituting for Connie Asbury, will act as timekeepers. Other league members will be in the audience collecting questions from audience members for the candidates. So if you see us wandering around with cards and you'd like to ask a question, be sure you do that. If a league member or a relative of a league member is a candidate or a close friend of a candidate, those league members have not participated in preparation of questions, nor will they participate in the forum as a moderator or presenter of questions for the candidates tonight. The format for tonight's forum is as follows. Each candidate will make an opening statement of no more than 2 minutes. Following these statements, we will begin the question and answer portion of the forum. Audience members are encouraged to submit questions, including signature, on the cards provided and give them to league members. League members who will be handing out and collecting questions, please raise your hands so that everybody can kind of see where you are. They're kind of standing in the back there, guys, so find one of those ladies. You must write your name on the bottom of the question, or again, your question will not be read. League also has prepared several questions for the candidates in advance of tonight's forums. Questions should be brief, of general interest, and not about personal matters. If several questions are similar, League may combine those for efficiency. Each candidate may respond to each question, including those posed specifically to another candidate. Responses will be limited to 2 minutes per candidate. Following the question period, each candidate will have the opportunity for a 2-minute closing statement. Candidates will begin their opening statements in ballot order with each different set of candidates that we have. Candidates will go in reverse order for the closing statements. There's two of you guys. I'm just not sure how we're going to keep it straight. So tonight we are going to begin with our candidates from Moberly School Board. The candidates that are here tonight are Bobby Riley and Debbie Young. Dan Wilcox will not be attending tonight but did respond to us to let us know. We will now accept questions from the audience. All candidates will be allowed to respond to all questions if they so choose. If there are no questions, then the league has prepared questions to ask. So I'll turn it over to Stephanie.
And we will start with Debbie Young to answer the first question. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Yeah.
Well, good evening. I'm Bobby Riley. First off, thanks to the League of Women Voters for hosting this. Thanks to you all here in the room and those listening on Quix Radio. My name is Bobby Riley, and I'm running for re-election to the Moberly School Board. I first ran for the school board because I saw the need to focus on facilities for our children. Buildings needed to be focused, to be a focus, as the facilities were hindering learning. Now, through two successful Prop S bond issues, our children are now in world-class classrooms. Thank you to the patrons of Moberly Schools for passage of those bonds. We're now educating our kids pre-K through high school in well-maintained and equipped buildings. Through conservative budgeting, we were also able to build a new early childhood learning center to give those pre-K kids a head start that they need. Our classrooms are staffed with great teachers. Teachers are the number one reason that learning happens. We work to attract and retain the best teachers for our kids. Our support staff and administrators are second to none. Education's always changing. The Moberly School District is one of constant learning. As a board member, I attend conferences at the Missouri School Board Association conference sessions there to enhance my learning of school board matters. I'm humbled to have been honored with a friend of education from the Northeast District of Missouri State Teachers Association. Public education is constantly under attack, and I think even more so today. I fight every chance I get with our representatives and senators to advocate for our kids and for public education. My name is Bobby Riley, and I would appreciate your vote for Moberly School Board on Tuesday. Thank you.
Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay. Hi. I want to thank you to the League of Women Voters for hosting this event and for all of those in attendance. Also, thank you to the media for covering this important occasion. Local political elections are extremely important because they are the very essence of representative government. One of the most important responsibilities that can be assigned to citizens is ensuring that children in their school district have sufficient opportunities to reach high levels of educational achievement. And my husband, Buck, and I have lived in this community and served this community for decades. And again, my name is Debbie Young, and I have dedicated a large portion of my life to education, starting with my three children as a educator of them when they were young. And then I started working in the schools as a volunteer and went on to work in a Central Christian preschool. And then I started going to college once my children started, got a little bit older and got into school, and went to school and became a teacher. I taught at Higbee and then went back to school, got my master's and became a counselor. And eventually I came back to Moberly and served for 20 years as the director of North Central Regional School, which is the alternative programs here in Moberly, and just recently retired last year as the director of North Central Regional School, the Moberly School District. And I feel like I have a well-rounded education and understand the programs here, and I also served on the school board in between 89 and 95, and I would appreciate your vote on Tuesday for me as a school board member. Thank you.
Now we'll start with questions.
We'll start with our first question, and since there's two candidates, we will go back to you, Mr. Riley, to answer first. Excessive staff turnover is expensive and harmful to students. What can the school board do to encourage administrator, teacher, staff retention?
So there have been years that I've been on the school board where we had a lot of turnover. I think the second year I was on the school board, went to the new teacher breakfast, and Gratz Brown cafeteria was full. We're to a point that it's not that way. You're going to have turnover, especially with 380 some odd employees in a district. To retain and attract those teachers, we have a great salary schedule that we have worked hard on the last few years. We are at the top when you compare to schools our size. We compare a lot to the North Central Missouri Conference schools because they are very similar to us in size and community, number of students, things like that. So with that, we also have great training, our professional development in the district. Those folks work very hard to make sure our teachers get the training and the extra education that we need. I would say our facilities are one of the things that attract good teachers to the air, to our school district. You would be hard pressed to find buildings like we have in the Moberly School District to want to teach in. I travel and go to other schools and see those facilities, and ours are definitely world class today. Still, some improvements need to be made, but that is something I think that attracts. And then most recently, we're working towards continuing to make sure our benefit package with health care is what our teachers want and desire. Thank you.
Mrs. Young?
Yes. Yes, staff turnover has always been a problem, and as Mr. Riley said, it has improved over the years, but that's something that the school district has worked at fighting for many decades, actually. One of the things I think is important is that making the people feel wanted, needed, and cared about. Is a good salary schedule is important, and the salary schedule has improved. I think working to continue to improve that, which I think that's something that the school board has set a focus on, is continuing to improve that, but that is important. But listening to what the teachers, support staff, and administrators say that they need to feel that they are valued in their positions and that they are valued as employees is something that's important, that that's shown to them is a way to make sure that we don't have turnover. There's some turnover that you're just not going to be able to stop. People have their husbands or wives get a job in another area and they are going to leave because they get a good opportunity and they're going to move because of that, and we can't stop those sort of things. But I think the board has a focus in their goals of retaining staff, hiring good staff, and I think that the district is on the right track, and we just need to continue to listen to what people want and need to show that we care about them. Thank you.
The next question will start with you, Mrs. Young.
Okay.
Have you, or if elected, will you be willing to attend individual training from MSBA?
Yes. When I was on the board from 89 to 95, that was voluntary training at in Columbia to go to the training, and I went to all of that training at that time. But there is 16 hours of mandatory training that is offered by the Missouri School Boards Association, and if I'm elected, I will again attend that and any other training and meetings that I'm asked to go to or I would volunteer to go to. I'm very interested in learning more because I know things have changed over the years. So, thank you.
Mr. Riley?
I'm sure that's the first thing that you do. I learned many things in those 2 days in Columbia attending the MSBA training. There are many things I think as a new school board member, you think you're going to hit the ground and make a change and do those things. And then you find out, well, this is government. And it's a good thing that in some cases that the wheels turn slowly. So that things don't change quickly. So that's one of the things you learn in the training. Of course, you'll never know enough about school budget. You'll never know enough. I mean, you can learn all the time. The training I got the most out of was when the state decided we were going to evaluate superintendents differently. And so we went to a superintendent evaluation training, which is completely different than what you do in the private sector. And so I'm constantly online seeing I get an email, well, especially during the legislative session, email once a day at least from MSBA educating us on what's going on at the state capitol. And then, of course, that prompts other things to look into. And so it's constant learning. So thank you.
Next question. What do you see as the board's role in developing, expanding, or changing curriculum?
Bobby, you're first on this
okay.
one.
So the board's role is to approve curriculum. I am not an educator. I think I bring strength and knowledge to the Board of Education, but not when it comes to curriculum. I read the curriculums. I understand a lot of it, but not being an educator, I can't in a lot of cases help develop it, and that's not our job. There have been things that have come up in board meetings that we've talked about that maybe get assigned to the curriculum committee, and I'm trying not to say the letters because those of you involved with education, you know the alphabet soup of education. So I'm trying not to use all those letters so that you understand, but through the different programs we have, through the Mission Moberly, which is basically our guiding document that we went through 2 winters ago. That's the driving thing, and it engages the community and staff, teachers, to help guide those things. And we have like the CAPS program we just started. That is a wonderful program. That wasn't necessarily started by the school board, but it's a great program that we now have because of community input. So as a community member, I can put input, but as far as directing curriculum, I think that's the educators do that, and then we're there to approve.
Ms. Young?
Yes. The committee that Mr. Riley was talking about, since I was worked for the Moberly School District for many years, and when I was on the board, we started the Instructional Coordinating Council, the ICC, which that is the group that looks at new curriculum, new classes, any coursework that an administrator or a group, a teacher or a department might bring before, be thinking about bringing before the board. As a board member, that would be something that I would be very interested in serving on that committee and giving input. If I wasn't on that committee, or if that committee wasn't looking at something, you know, at that time, the main thing that the board does, as Mr. Riley said, is to approve any curriculum. The district's curriculum is on a cycle. Like, we look at social studies 1 year, science 1 year, language arts 1 year, English language arts, ELA, math another year, revamping the goals and what it is that the students are going to study and need to know. And so it's important for us to at least have a working knowledge of what it is that the students are studying and what coursework is being offered at the different levels, so that since we are representatives of the people, if we have questions given brought to us from the people, then we're able to answer those, or at least know where to direct them to. Thank you.
Next question. What is the school district's responsibility regarding bullying? And how can bullying be prevented and reported to parents and student and reporting to parents and students be more open?
Ms. Young?
There is a policy. It's actually a law that we have to follow. The district has to follow. And that really goes down to the board directs the superintendent, because it is a policy that the board passes. And the superintendent then makes sure that all the administrators has the forms and the policy in line, and that the procedures are carried out. And then all the administrators make sure that all of the teachers and the support staff are aware of what the policy and procedures are, so that if they either see bullying taking place or have it reported to them, that they make sure that that procedure is carried out. And so if a student reports bullying taking place, or they see it, or they're aware in any way that there's any bullying taking place, there is a set procedure that they are to go through, and it has to be documented, and there are set procedures that they have to go through as far as consequences, bringing in the person that is bullying, and consequences that they have to go through, and then they also have to make sure that they are communicating with the family members. So the district follows the rules and the law in that. Thank you.
Mr. Riley?
It's great that to sit up here with Mrs. Young and the wealth of knowledge from the administrative side. So she said that better than I could ever think about doing it. From the board standpoint, safety is one of our board goals. And so bullying falls under safety. There's not a lot I can do as a school board member other than holding the superintendent accountable for the policies that we have. Unfortunately, bad things happen every day, whether it's in school or business or home, and it's unfortunate. And so I'm very much against bullying. I think I would be the other way. I can't imagine being in school today and not having the ability to take up for those who are being bullied in a aggressive manner, I should say. I feel my heart pumping now. As far as a board member, we just have to absolutely make sure that we have the right people in place. We have, just in the past board meeting, we have approved an interventionist to help with those kids who are disciplinary issues. And so we're going to have a person that in the district that's all they do is help hopefully correct some of those who are the bulliers, but the bullies. So, along with other things. So, thank you.
Could I? And I, it's not that I want to rebut. I want to kind of add to.
Your time is already up. I'm sorry. We're going to have to move on to the next question.
And this will be our last question for the school board candidates. What input should local school board members, administrators, and teachers have in developing local board policy? Should MSBA policies be vetted locally before adoption?
Is that to me?
Yes.
We absolutely go through every policy. Most policies start at the state level in either the Department of Education or through the legislature and then through the department. So keeping local districts in line with the law, that's why we belong to MSBA. There are other places we could belong to, but MSBA is there to help us. The city has their leagues they are a member of, and so I'm a representative of the community. I'm not an education expert. I'm not a law expert, so we have to have those services do that. Now, we have groups that go through those policies depending on what it is and vet those, change them for local. There are a lot of times that our conversations in our policy readings, we go through three readings before a policy is brought up for approval. And so essentially you have 3 months that you can talk about things after it's come to through the process. So there have been many times that we as a board, I personally have asked for things to be changed and to be talked about on different policies since I've been in. So if it's a law and this is the way it has to be, that a board's hands are tied. Other situations where we can add to or change, we absolutely do that here at the local level.
Ms. Young?
One of the main duties of the Board of Education is to set and approve policy and supervise the superintendent. Missouri School Board Association is a wonderful resource because they can keep us in line with the law and making sure that as new laws are brought up, changed, and revised, that we are staying in line with them. And if there's something, some sort of policy that has come about that we want to write here, we have the right to write our own policies. But even when we do that, it's important that they are run through a legal person to make sure that we're not in conflict with the law. So the Missouri School Board Association is a wonderful resource to make sure that we are staying legal. And it's, but it's, the board does take a lot of time making sure that all of those policies are in line, and then it's up to a chain of command. It goes up from the teachers up to the school board, and the school board down to all of the employees. The school board makes sure that those policies are written so that they can be followed. And that's one of the most important duties that they have, is writing policy or approving policy, and that has to be carried out because that is the law once it has been approved. Board policy is law, and that's something that everybody has to understand once it has been set. That was, other than that, everything that Mr. Riley said is correct. Thank you.
It's now time for closing statements, and since Mr. Riley got to begin, Ms. Young, you get to go first.
Okay. As a retired educator and as a proud mom and grandma and a lifelong resident of Moberly, I'm dedicated to helping students reach their full potential in a safe and secure environment, and I support investing in our students' future by strengthening access to technology, common sense life skills classes, and college and career readiness programs. My experience as a teacher and administrator allows me to understand how to prioritize funds and in order to continue improving the learning environment for all students, teachers, and staff of Moberly Public Schools. I want to be a team member that continues in the road that we are now. I think that I have a focus that's different because I come from a different background, but I think that I also can just complement the current board in a lot of things that they're already starting. I think it's important that we have different perspectives on the board, and that I have a perspective of not only my past board service, but also my service as an experienced educator. So I would appreciate your vote and support on Tuesday. Thank you.
Mr. Riley?
Thanks again to the League for having this, and thank you all for being here here in the room and listening to what's going on tonight, being an informed voter. Again, thanks to Quicks and Bob back there, turning the knobs. I've had the great honor of serving the Moberly School Board and being an advocate for our kids with your support and vote. I'll promise to work hard for our kids every day on the school board. My wife, Stephanie, and I have two kids. Trey is a 2015 graduate. He is going to the University of Missouri, St. Louis, to become a special education teacher. I think he'll do a great job with that. He has the heart and the drive to be a great special education teacher. My other son, Brady, is in the sixth grade at Moberly Middle School. He is as well-rounded of a kid as you can find, and that is due in part the education that, that the Moberly Public Schools gives him. I'm a lifelong resident of Moberly as well. I'm very involved in our community. Being on the school board is probably the most proud investment that I've made as a volunteer. I've grown up volunteering for our community. I can remember as a six-year-old walking around downtown turning on Christmas lights while the JCs turned them on. I put them up and have moved through and been involved in many civic did my stop? Oh, does that stop? Oh, I'm sorry. I saw stop. So anyway, my name is Bobby Riley, and I would love your vote on Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you both very much. You may step down. You can give them a hand.
All right, that's the first race being featured this evening. We're live in Moberly City Hall in Quicks, also at centralmoinfo.com. The other two races that will be featured this evening, of course, will be for the Moberly City Council, which will be the final one this evening, also for the Randolph County Ambulance District, which will be the next race that will be featured this evening. Wonderful crowd is on hand this evening at Moberly City Hall. I'm pleased you're joining us this evening for the forum broadcast on Quicks AM as well. And also want to let you know that tomorrow morning we will also be posting this on our website at centralmoinfo.com. It's Randolph County Ambulance District is the next race. So let's go back to the podium and continue the forum broadcast this evening on Quicks. And we'll turn things back over to our moderator, Cassie Bogalski, and Stephanie Lunsford, who is serving questioner this evening. So let's head back to the podium, and we'll begin with our second race of the evening.
When voting for Randolph County Ambulance District Board, you can vote for one person. There are two folks running, Daryl Hansen, who is here with us today, and Chris Chisholm, who was unable to attend. Mr. Hansen, since you are first and last, you can go first with your opening statement.
The last shall be first. Is that the
exactly? I like it. Yeah.
First of all, I want to thank the city of Moberly for providing this venue for us year after year to promote candidate information. I want to thank the League of Women Voters for taking their time and effort to put this on. I want to thank you who have attended as individuals who are concerned about being informed voters. My name is Darrell Hansen. I've been in the county roughly 30 some years. I have been on the ambulance district board. I served there for 18 years, most of that as chairman. I have worked for the sheriff's department. I was a little concerned when I'm seeing all of these officers around tonight, whether if I've done something wrong or something, but I started out volunteering at the sheriff's department as a jailer, and nobody volunteers as a jailer, you know, but I did, and now I am a chaplain to the sheriff's department. Chaplain to the sheriff, his officers, his staff, to the jail staff. I do not interact with the prisoners because of conflicts. I also have the privilege of meeting with and talking to our elected county officials. I have the privilege of praying with them and reminding them that God is still in charge. And as a chaplain and as a person of faith, that is where I stand, and thank you for allowing me to be here tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen, and you also get the first question.
Oh, wonderful.
Will you support joining the Joint Dispatch Center for 911 if elected?
That's an interesting question. I have read over the things and from what I have read, there are a lot of questions that are not answered in that document, one of which is how they're going to rectify the fact that the ambulance district has provided over $100,000 a year in dispatching services to the fire departments at no cost to the fire departments, or how they will train their dispatchers to dispatch ambulances when they have no knowledge of the medical terminologies and things that will need to be covered as a dispatcher for a medical service. There's a lot of questions that are left out of that. The other thing is that I see and pardon me, I'm trying to be as politically correct as I possibly can, but when I came here, the first thing I heard was that the city of Moberly was trying to take over and be the capital or the county seat and have the seat of government here. And everybody I talked to said, no, we don't want to do that, but it seems to me that this is pointing in that direction, and people are actively giving up their right to county government. I'll quit.
Next question. Do you believe the district is sufficiently transparent in actions or business? Why or why not?
Having been on the board for 18 years, that question has come to us, as to me as a board member on the board, a number of times, and yes, they are transparent. Finances are visible. Are the actions, the board minutes, all of that is transparent because it's all covered under the Sunshine Law. The only thing that is not made public is those actions taken by the board in dealing with employees that need discipline. And that is not for public knowledge or to be used in that way. All all of their business is above board. We've been asked about having, I was on the board for a long time, and it just falls that way. But the opportunity or the necessity of having an audit became subject a number of times. And after looking it over, everybody was of the opinion that there was no need for an audit because of the transparency and the redundancy in things that, in the financial terms. If there are further questions about that, I will speak to them.
Arcad receives over $1 million in sales tax revenue plus reimbursement for calls. There has not been an independent audit in years. Do you support open records and an audit regularly?
As I have said, the records are there for looking at. There is nothing hidden. There is no funds being used. There's no cash that is not taken care of except by a receipt or some other means of verification, an invoice, whatever it might be. There has to be something to verify the funds. All of these funds are noted and carefully annotated for your use and your knowledge should you decide you want to look at the books. To have an independent audit would be a waste of state money and district money because of the redundancy of the things that are there. Of course, I've been gone for 3 years, but I don't feel that there has been any changes made in that, and there has been no questions to my knowledge about that since then. Thank you.
Both Randolph County and Moberly receive tax money and are required to publish a report of income and expenses each year. Should the ambulance district do this also?
That's a question that I've never heard before. Randolph County Ambulance District is its own political subdivision. The income statements and all of that are available at the district. If you're interested in that, you may go there and look. You may ask the questions. You will be given the information that you need, that you request. There's transparency in all of this because we are a publicly supported district. We are your servants. After 18 years, I'm still weeing, but the statement of purpose is to serve this county, and to do that, the district has done well. They are fully staffed. They have. I talked with Mr. Joyner, the superintendent. They have some excellent paramedics, EMTs, support staff outside of that, part-time people, full-time, part-time. I think it would be a great place to work were you qualified.
This will be the last question for our ambulance district candidate. Do you think we have enough ambulances? Should there be separate vehicles just for non-emergency transport?
We have 5 ambulances. 6? I'm corrected. Mr. Joyner just corrected me. We have 6 ambulances. There have been changes in the way hospitals handle things, and we have a lot of hospital-to-hospital transports that take ambulances out of the county. We staff full staff on three ambulances all day. There's a couple of days that staffing is on till 7 o'clock at night. But even at that, when you have three runs to Columbia, you have to hope that you can get a hold of the off-duty people, most of whom are working someplace else or doing something else, and get them to come in. And then you have to hope that you only have one more thing happen. So there's been a lot of changes in order to implement having ambulances in county. If we wanted to spend a bunch more money, we could staff 10 ambulances full time every day, and you guys would pay a huge bill for that. We don't want that. We're here to serve you the best way we can, as inexpensively as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. It's now time for closing statement.
Oh.
And you get to go first again.
Oh, I get to go first on the closing statement. What a wonderful opportunity. I see a lot of people that I've known for a long time, some not so long. But I really am privileged to again offer myself for the service of the ambulance district. Should I be elected, my service will be none the less than it has been. I will give everything I have, as I do to my other service things, and will serve this county to the very best of my knowledge and the very best of my ability. I appreciate each of you being here tonight. I appreciate those who are listening on QuickCrest, and this is such an important part of our republic. We're not a democracy, we're a republic. And the thing that makes us unique is the ability to vote. And the thing that makes this country great is happening right here in this building tonight. I thank you again. God bless and God keep.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. You may step down.
All right, that's the second race of the evening being featured, the race for Randolph County Ambulance District Board. You've already heard from two of the members vying for the seats on the Moberly School Board. And the final race that will be featured this evening, as we're live in Moberly City Hall for the Moberly Randolph County League of Women Voters Forum, will be that for Moberly City Council. And we'll turn things back over to the podium in a moment, but we also invite you to join us for election coverage. We'll have that for you next Tuesday evening, beginning about 7:15 on Superstation Crest, also online at centralmoinfo.com. So again, we'll have that for you next Tuesday, and we'll also, of course, post the results on our website, which is centralmoinfo.com. So as the candidates make their way to the stadium, to the podiums, let's go ahead and go back.
When you're voting for city council, you will be able to vote for two council persons. All of the council people running for city council are present here tonight. In ballot order, Austin Kaiser, Michael Fort, Gary Bowman, Cole Davis, and Jeff Lawrence. We will now do opening statements, beginning with Mr. Kaiser and going in ballot order.
Good evening. For those of you who may not know me, I am Austin Kaiser, owner of AK's Guns and Ammo. I grew up here and am proud to call Moberly my hometown. I spent 25 years in the computer industry, consulting with many large cities, organizations, and global companies across the country. Based upon my experience and knowledge, I'll bring fresh ideas and leadership to our council. I am not a politician by any means. I say what I mean and mean what I say because I believe your word is your bond. I proudly established my business here in downtown Moberly. Therefore, I have skin in the game and a vested interest in making Moberly truly great again. I look around and I see so many opportunities for us to do just that. I'm a strong advocate for fiscal responsibility and economic development. I'll be a voice for both small and large businesses, while just as importantly, all of our citizens. I will work hard to ensure that Moberly offers an environment that encourages business growth and opportunities. I'll fight just as hard against new taxes as our citizens and businesses cannot afford to be taxed anymore. I believe that it's better to increase our tax base and revenues versus tax rates. I come before you this evening not because I have a single issue agenda, but because I passionately believe that together we truly can bring the magic back to our magic city. As you will learn tonight, we have many challenges before us. I have a proven track record as someone that can bring a voice of reason to all sides of an issue, as well as someone that can think outside of the box to find solutions to problems. We need somebody with an open mind and a can-do attitude. I, for one, refuse to listen to naysayers. I thrive in proving them wrong. At the end of the day, it's about doing what's right for all of Moberly. I look forward to your questions tonight. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Michael Fort, and I don't have a sheet like everybody else does. That's all right. I'm going to speak to you from my heart. That's what it's all about anyway. I was praying about 4 months ago, and I felt like God told me to run. So I'm running. Our city has a lot of opportunities, but it also has some problems. And my wife and I moved here 6 years ago, and we've raised our three children here, Anna, Tom, and Joe. They're back there with my wife right now. And I tell you guys something, you know, I think that we have a great future for Moberly. I really do believe that there's some ways forward for us as a city where we can have a lot of hope. But I also think that we have some things in our city that need to be addressed better than they're being addressed currently. And I hope to be able to do that. And get your vote. You know, please vote for me. I will do my very best for all of you. I'm a pastor. And I'm also a business owner. But mainly, I'm a citizen of the city of Moberly. And I see all the things going on that all of you do every day. And I really want to do what's best for our city. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Gary Bowman, and I thank
Mr. Bowman, try to talk into your microphone just a little bit more. Thank you.
Okay. I'm a kind of soft-spoken guy. Again, I'd like to thank the women. League of Voters for putting this on, and I'd like to thank the people in Quicks Crest that are listening to this, because we need every vote to count. That is one of the rights that some of the boys in the back has sacrificed their time and effort. And I also like to thank these four candidates. You know, they keep volunteering of their time, and volunteerism is something that we need in our community to help improve this Moberly and bring it back to what it was years ago. That's one of the reasons I've served on Main Street Moberly for almost two decades. And I've also have served on the Crisco Board, which I'm in the second term as a president. And also why I've got this opportunity, and we got the radio here, and Bob brought this. I'm also kind of tongue-tied too, but we like to also like to thank people that participate and give the Crisco Center. We serve somewhere around 1,600 individuals in the Moberly area, and we're just one organization that does that. So you know, you all have be commended. But again, these gentlemen are going to give of their time, and on Monday, first and third Mondays. And so, you know, if you have a question, you need to communicate it to us. Thank you.
Mr. Davis?
Good evening. I'm Cole Davis. I'm a lifelong resident of Moberly, except for 6 years in Kansas City in the 70s. I'm married to Denise Caldarello for the last 41 years. We have 5 children, 10 grandchildren, and have been foster parents to over 30 Moberly area children. I was born in Moberly, attended grade school, 7th grade at Bradley School, and the 11th and 12th grades I was out at the junior college. I was the last graduating class at the junior college before they moved to their present location. I attended Moberly Junior College for 2 years and Culver Stockton College afterwards. I played on the best basketball team Moberly High School has ever seen in 1966 to 68. Anybody want to argue? I also was a member of the Moberly Greyhounds in 69 and 70. Growing up in Moberly, I worked as a car hop at the old Parkway Drive-In, as a bellhop at the Merchants Hotel, and as a teller at Mechanics Bank. I worked summers on the Norfolk and Western Railroad in 68 through 70, and I went to work full-time for them in 1971. Denise and I owned and operated a restaurant while we lived in Kansas City in the late 70s, and I retired at the first of this year with 50 years of service. Prior to my retirement, I was a full-time union officer, 20 years serving as a vice general chairman and general chairman of the NS Railroad. In 2010, I was elected as national vice president, representing over 50,000 engineers and trainmen. Despite Moberly's long history as a major railroad terminal, I'm the only engineer from Moberly ever to be elected to the office of a national vice president, the BLET. I have years of experience in the drafting and oversight of large budgets, administration of pension plans, oversight of 401k plans, administration of health care plans, and contract negotiations. I have experience with international labor contracts with both Canadian and Mexican railroads, and I have been a small business owner. I know what it's like to be an employee.
That's time, Mr. Davis.
Thank you.
Mr. Lawrence?
I would like to thank the League for hosting this event. I think someone said it best earlier. They do this every year for every election, and they do a great job. I'd like to thank the City of Moberly for giving us this place to host it. I'd like to thank the radio station for carrying it live on the radio, and also it will be posted on their website tomorrow. I also like to thank each one of you who gave up your evening to be here, whether you're in a seat, listening on the radio, or watching this on Facebook. It's my pleasure to be here this evening to address questions pertaining to the opportunity that I have to serve as a councilman for the city that I call home. I am Jeff Lawrence, and I have been a resident of Moberly for almost 40 years now. My wife, Laura, and I of nearly 25 years have been blessed to raise our 3 children here. And this last fall, we're very proud that our daughter, after graduating from college, has decided to make Moberly her home. Soon after graduating from Moberly High School, I began my professional career at the City Bank and Trust here in Moberly. And while attending the Moberly Area Community College and Columbia College, I continued that job, and it proved to be an excellent vocation to teach me many skills that I've used since then. After nearly 7 years at City Bank, I left to begin a career in construction, and soon after began my own business, L&J Development, of which we've been running for nearly 22 years at this time. Along the way, I've been fortunate to be a part of many organizations, either as a volunteer or serving on a board. Some of those include the Randolph County Red Cross Board, the MACC Alumni Board for 4 years, 2 as a president, Community Daycare Board for 6 years, 4 as a treasurer, the Moberly Public School Board for 9 years, 1 as vice president and 5 as president, and as a member of the County Bank Board of Directors for nearly a decade and a half. Whether it's reviewing policies, working on its budget, or helping with a citywide cleanup, I'm not afraid to roll up my sleeves, bow my back, and get to work. You may ask, why am I telling you all this? It's pretty simple. I have the experience that we'll take to help lead our city forward for the years to come.
And now we will start questions. Mr. Fort, we will start with you, go all the way down the line, and then come back to you, Mr. Kaiser.
How would you describe the financial health of the city, and what is the biggest challenge ahead financially?
Finances are really, really important, obviously, in any city. Unfortunately, I don't know enough to tell you about the financial health of our city, where our money is being allocated, how it's being used. It's something that I really have a lot of curiosity about. I don't think enough information's out there for our general public. So if I'm elected, it's something that I plan on spending at least a year. It might take longer going through and looking at and seeing how we're allocating funds, what we're doing with our money, what how those funds are being used in every way. You know, is there areas that we need to cut funds so that we can push forward other programs that are more important? Where are we getting the funds from? Is there ways that we can drive more revenue into our city, which I believe we can do through some job growth and businesses coming here? So, you know, it's a multifaceted question. You really have to understand that for us to be healthy as a city, we need to have revenue sources coming into our city. And so we need to drive the job growth in our city. We can't afford to shrink. We need to be a place that businesses want to come to so that they want to do business here in Moberly. And for that, we need some infrastructure, as far as I'm concerned. I think we need better housing and possibly hotels, places where executives would like to stay and be when they're here, maybe even nicer restaurants. I'd like to see a Starbucks downtown, personally. You know, there's lots of things that we can do as a city that I feel will help us get a better handle on where those funds are and what, how we're using them, or help me, and then I can relay them to you guys. Thank you.
Mr. Bowman?
You know, for probably 5 or 6 years, I probably sat over in that corner and Jerry Jeffries, I can tell you, he has to eyeball me quite often out there. And you know, that's one of the questions right now that I see is we have some infrastructure.
Mr. Bowman, you're a very soft-spoken guy, but can you please use the microphone? I'm so sorry.
Relax, dude. But we have infrastructural problems that is going to have to be addressed. And I know that's one of the things that the council is working on. And so far, you know, talking with some of our council members, they're trying to, you know, they're trying to keep it in budget. And that's one of the reasons I would like to be your councilman and volunteer for this position, because I am one of them that believe that staying on budget and staying with the rules and regulations that the state and the feds have with us. And so, I mean, this is one of the problems. And of course, most cities have it. And in the last 3 years, if you look around at our city, you'll see improvements by our community. So, and some of those is due to the SID program that's been introduced. And we've had several buildings bought downtown. Yep. Well, thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Davis.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. How would you describe the financial health of the city, and what is the biggest challenge ahead financially?
Well, I'm reluctant to answer that question, not having any access to particulars on it. If you'd ask me 6 months from now if I'm elected, I'll be glad to go into length on how I would describe it. But for right now, I think anything I would say would be superficial.
Mr. Lawrence?
Well, the financial health of our city, according to our bond rating, it's very well. It's one of the things that I follow, being on a bank board. It's something that we talk about quite often. As far as the budgets and whatnot, those items are online on the city's website, and I have accessed those several times here lately in asking some questions about different things that have gone on, and called Mr. Crane and Mr. Jeffrey, the mayor of Moberly, to ask them some questions about different things that I've seen on the budget and things that I've heard out in public and where things are at. So I would say biggest challenges coming forward, it's no different than when I served on the school board. You get lots of unfunded mandates that come from Capitol Hill, whether Capitol Hill's in Jeff City or Capitol Hill's in Washington, D.C., and they push you to make changes to your water system or changes to your sewer system or different things like that. And those are challenges that we, as residents of Moberly, get to be a part of, and we get a water hike. And is it fair? You know, I enjoy my water, and I'm willing to pay a little bit more for that water. And so maybe it's not fair to everyone, but we're all in this together, and we need to have a clean water, and we need to follow the regulations. So as far as challenges to our financial health in Moberly, I would say those would be through some of our utility programs.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yeah, I concur with Jeff. I mean, I've got the budget right here. It's available on our website. It's 95 pages long. It goes into great detail about what we spend our money on, what we don't, and how taxes are allocated, revenues, and so on. It's disappointing that more people don't pay attention to look at it, and but it is here, and you can get all kinds of information out of this 95 pages, simple reading over an evening when you're bored. But there's multiple years. So with that, our biggest challenge is absolutely, I think, the monster in the room is the our water and sewer district infrastructure. It's a major concern, and I think, you know, we always talk about, you know, our national debt and how we're pushing it off on our grandchildren and the future generations, and nobody really thinks about it. Well, guess what? We're here with our sewer and water district, not district, but infrastructure. For too long, we just assumed, hey, this is going to last forever. If we replaced every line of water line in Moberly, Missouri, it'd be $84 million. Not saying we're going to do that. I'm just saying that's the kind of scale of the infrastructure that we've got here. And I think that's our biggest challenge, and it's going to take a lot of hard decisions and a lot of real thinking outside the box to come up with some ideas of how to get that fixed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We are not going to take rebuttals on that question. We're going to move on to the next question. The questions at the end, if we have time, we will take rebuttals on, okay? Mr. Bowman, this next question will be directed to you first, and then again on down the line, and then back ending with Mr. Ford.
Please share your knowledge of the revitalization initiatives taking place in downtown Moberly, and do you support engagement with the entities participating in those efforts?
Yes, I do. In fact, I make sure once a month on the 20th, usually at 4 o'clock, I'm in that room right there where they talk about the revitalization of it. And one of the main supporters was Main Street Mobile for the revitalization. So, I can't say too much more other than, like I said, repeat what I said before. We have several new owners in the downtown district, and you can see the chamber and economic development and Main Street Moberly. They're all working together to improve what we have, and the council's been working with us too. So I mean, I'm a firm believer in revitalization, but you know, we have a lot of business owners that always have kept Moberly. You wouldn't believe when you go to other cities the difference. I mean, I can't say enough. You know, I love the park, and one of my favorites is the railroad, and it brings in almost 18,000 people a year. So I mean, I've been all across the United States because I was an electrician and I worked nuclear power plants, car plants, you know, all that. I just can't talk fast enough and close enough because I'm a shorty. Thank you.
Mr. Davis?
Well, I've owned a building in downtown, and my office was there. Has been downtown since 2005. I have signed on to the grants and everything that have come down, and the plans that are in the economic development has provided for us. I'm in the process of buying another building downtown, so I'm invested in downtown area. I believe that there's ways of revitalizing it. I go back to the time when Friday nights on Reed Street were the place to be, and it was quite an event just to drive up and down Reed Street. But will we ever get back to that? I have my doubts on it, but I think there's from my travels throughout the country and with my job job. I've seen other locations of towns our size that their downtown areas were vital, and the job, the shops were full, and there's businesses there that would be interested, and we just got to make it more attractive to them.
Mr. Lawrence.
So my knowledge of the revitalization programs in downtown Moberly, I assume you're talking about the SID program and things like that. Is that what we're talking about? Can you answer that part?
The question is just in regard to revitalization efforts okay. in general.
Well, I'm somewhat sorry to say that I am still the current owner of 209 North 4th. For the 17 years prior to this, it was a ugly mess after the theater pulled out and moved to the north end of town, but I was fortunate enough to find a good tenant to move into that building, and we revitalized that building last year and opened that up in June. Since then, because of things that are going on in downtown Moberly, we were able to purchase the building two doors down, and we have a new tenant moving in there on Monday morning of next week. And we recently purchased a third building in downtown Moberly. So I see downtown Moberly as a plus as far as owning property. My wife and I do manage several commercial real estate pieces, and downtown Moberly is on the move, and it's pretty exciting to be a part of it.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes, I happen to be that tenant, 209 North 4th. So the answer is I absolutely support it. In fact, I encourage it. I know Diane and I have many chats about downtown, and I've got a lot of ideas of how we can grow downtown and make it a vibrant heart of our city. Last summer, you know, I've decided I was wanted to run for city council since last summer, and we had talked about, you know, me getting more involved in Main Street, but I felt I would be better served. The community would be better served if I pursued going here to the city council and help from that standpoint versus being involved directly with Main Street. But I absolutely do support the efforts, and I'm excited about the growth and what we can see in downtown. And I think there's a number of things: Corner Grill, Shady Tuesdays, AK's, his second building that's got the tenants coming in Monday. Those are, and the Bean. You know, we talked about, somebody mentioned Starbucks earlier. We've got the Bean downtown. I got news for you. I've been to Starbucks for many years. The Bean's got it. And I love their hot chocolate. Everybody wants to bring me hot chocolate sometime. But anyway, at the store, I tell everybody, bring me hot chocolate. But all for it. And look forward to continuing to support it.
I love the Bean. I love Starbucks, too. Can you repeat the question for me, please?
Yes. Please share your knowledge of the revitalization initiatives taking place in downtown Moberly, and do you support engagement with the entities participating in those efforts?
I do support that, but I have a little bit of hesitation there, because I feel that sometimes when we're revitalizing one portion of a city, we need to make those opportunities available for the other portions of the city, other businesses in the city. So the way I understand it with downtown Moberly currently, we're giving out grants to people that own businesses there. The grants were free money for businesses, and I felt like it was so poorly rolled out that only about half of the businesses down there took advantage of free money. I don't know how we would do that and say that we're really doing our best job at that, because if you went to my business and told me, hey, I have free money for you, I'm taking it. And I think that 100% of the people that own property downtown, I can't see any reason why one of them didn't take the money. So that initiative needs to be rolled out better, needs to be taken care of better. And also, we need to have opportunities for other entities in our city as opposed to just one specific district. Thank you.
Mr. Davis, you will start with the next question.
Excessive staff turnover is costly for a city and can hurt staff morale. What can the council do to encourage staff retention, especially the police department?
Well, I've got a lot of experience in negotiating contracts and labor in the labor field, both for Class 1 railroads and regional and short line railroads. The amazing thing that has popped up to me is I see people that are willing to go from Class 1 railroads to regional railroads, where they go from 60 to 100,000 a year jobs to 40 and 50,000 a year jobs. And the main reason that they cite to me over and over again is quality of life. They are tired of not knowing when they're going to work, when they're going to be off, what hours they're going to have, and stuff like that. They want the quality of life to spend with their family. So to me, it's you have to have a balance of wages, of course. That's the first thing that pops to everybody's mind. But the people today are putting quality of life ahead of their wages in a lot of cases. Thank you.
Mr. Lawrence?
I think that same question was asked of me 12 years ago when I set up here for school board. And it was asked again tonight of them. There's always going to be a certain amount of turnover, but there has been many posts lately on the police department Facebook page about the number of people that are leaving and they're going to other communities. I have not interviewed any of them. I've heard scuttle. You know, we can offer them more in wages. We can offer them better benefits. But I agree with Mr. Davis when it comes down to quality of life issues. We as a community, not so much the council, but we as a community need to get behind them and support them more and make it someplace that they want to serve in and they want to wear Moberly on their chest when they go out into the service.
Mr. Kaiser?
Yeah, this is actually a major concern of mine. We've lost 7 officers in the last 6 months. According to Chief Link, when an officer leaves, it costs us about $10,000 in training and interviews and so on to bring somebody new on staff. $70,000 in the last 6 months. If you divide that across 27 officers, it's a little over $2,500 more that we could have paid officers. This is wasted money. We do need to investigate and find why these officers are leaving. I've developed relationships with several current officers, as well as officers that leave, haven't gone to where they kind of like to come by and we chat and visit. And so I've got a little insight. A lot of it has to do with overtime opportunities. We've got challenges in the sense that we're Moberly. We're not going to have a lot of overtime opportunities for them as they get into larger cities. These larger cities, there's a lot of competition for good officers. And when you look at a academy, and these big cities come in and throw a lot of money at these kids. They take the top recruits, and we're getting I'm not going to say the Barney Fife, but there's a lot of them in the training that we need a better staff. Another thing is that, you know, we're missing a canine unit. We have the monies for a dog, but when you've got people that are, you have officers that can't commit to staying for the life of a dog, you can't bring a canine unit and introduce it to one officer and then later bring it to another officer and so on. So we do need to address those issues. What can the council do? Work with our chief, work with the people to know, you know, what, find out from them what they want. We know they want more tools. They want to feel appreciated, and that's one thing that we can do as well. But we've got to find a way to be more competitive, to compete against the Sedalias, the Kirksvilles, as well as the bigger cities. I do agree quality of life does play into it, but at the same time, these young guys, they like the money now because they want to buy the cool toys and enjoy life. You know, you get about 40 and then you start thinking about retirement with a lot of people. And so it's a competitive world, and I thank you.
Mr. Ford?
In business, when I see a lot of turnovers in a company, I look at leadership and I look at processes that are in place in that business to retain their employees, how the leadership is rolling out those processes, how those processes are being received by employees. So for our police department, I think that we need to take a real good look at it. We shouldn't have the turnover we have. So there's some things going on there, in my guess, that are causing people to want to go. So certainly some of all of the things that everybody's mentioned. You know, I think that if you really want to retain people, you need to provide them a great workplace, and you need to provide them a sum of money that is comparable to what they can receive in another city. But at the same time, you need to give them other reasons to want to be a part of your community. And so our community really needs to get behind, in my viewpoint, all of our officers. Also, the city council needs to make sure that they're fully funded. You know, we need to buckle down. All of our first responders, the ambulances, the fire department, the police departments, we need to make sure they're 100% funded so that they can do their job. And I think that if we can do those things, take a look at what's going on and why, you know, maybe we have a committee set aside that would just take a look at what's going on with that turnover. And try to find out, maybe interviewing some of the officers that are currently there, what they feel is the cause, and be able to look at some areas that we can resolve that. Thank you.
Mr. Bowman?
Would you mind reading the question again?
Excessive staff turnover is costly for a city and can hurt staff morale. What can the council do to encourage staff retention, especially police?
Okay. One of the things I've found in life is that if you don't have communication between your working staff, then you have problems. And, you know, I believe in communication. In fact, when I was running work, I always had an office trailer sitting right there on the job site. And I always told the gentlemen and women, if you have a problem, I don't care what kind of problem it is, come and communicate to me. So either I can help you or you can at least get it off your chest. I mean, you know, it's like our city council. If they don't know what's going on, they can't do nothing about it. You know, and it's like myself. If you don't tell me why you don't like me, well, then I can't be more friendly to you. And I see a lot of friends of mine in this audience. So, you know, I that's just one of the things that in life you have to have good communication skills. And then, like I said, there's always the pay aspect. I know that people have to have a good standard of living. And sometimes they come through the word collective bargaining. And if you would like to know what that means, come and see me. I'll tell you, explain it to you.
The next question, Mr. Lawrence, will be directed to you, and then we'll start back with Mr. Kaiser and go on down the line.
How would you be accessible to citizens who wish to discuss issues of city governance outside of council meetings? For instance, in another city, a councilwoman holds office hours one Saturday a month at a local coffee shop where folks can drop by for a discussion.
Accessibility for me is pretty easy. For one thing, I take up a lot of room and people can see me. The second one being that I'm involved in lots of things in Moberly. I run a business that's here in Moberly. My office is always open. The lady that answers the phone is extremely nice, and she is very good about taking notes or putting you through to voicemail. So my cell phone is published on Morley on an old bank building, and lots of people picked up on that pretty quick, and I tried to hide it for a while, but it got out there. So email and telephone calls are the easiest ways to do that. But if it came a need to sit down and have a one-on-one with someone, I'm not opposed to that as well.
Mr. Kaiser?
Yeah. Number one is I'm a big user of Facebook, social media, etc. I also have a store, and people love to come in and talk to me. So I'm accessible from that. I do think that we need to communicate with the citizens in the community better. One thing I've proposed is I plan, if I'm elected, I plan to have quarterly forums where I want to sit down and talk about the challenges we have and brainstorm with many citizens to come up with solutions that, because we don't know all the ideas, we don't have all the answers, and maybe somebody out in the community does, and we want to brainstorm together to come up with those. So I plan to have quarterly forums where we can sit down and come up with ideas and solve problems and challenges. Second of all, I plan to have a Facebook webpage, Austin, with the city council, and make it available so people can express interest. I plan on having help to put the agenda before meetings or the work sessions on that so that people will know what we're actually going to be talking about for work sessions so they know if they need to show up or not. Because a lot of times they find out after the fact, and it's like, guys, we've been talking about this for 2 months. months, and they found, well, we just saw it in the news today. And so we need to do better at promoting that. We've got a great PR lady in our city named Emily, and I'm sure that she would be more than happy to help with that as well. But that's another example of where we want to make ourselves more accessible and get that information out, because I think the more information out there, you know, for our citizens to know what's going on, they'll have a chance to feel like they have a say, and that'll just make our community stronger. Thank you.
Mr. Fort?
I don't want to talk to anybody. No, please. I don't really, you know, I don't know how accessible I'm going to be. Obviously, if I'm elected, I'll be here every city council meeting. If you go to my church, you'll see me. If you see me at a school my kids are at, you can talk to me. I'm not unapproachable in any way. So to me, the question's kind of silly. Am I going to have a specific special place where people that want to ask questions of the city council are going to be able to speak to me specifically? No, I'm not. You know, you can go to the Moberly website and post your questions there. I'll be happy to answer them. You can talk to me anytime you're in person around me. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have to the best of my ability. I prefer email because then I can research the question and give you a more detailed answer if you do have a question that's pertinent. A lot of times also when people have questions of city council members, they're a little heated with their question, so I don't want to put myself out there, to be frank with you. With people that are a little more heated, I'd prefer that it goes through the email. If you know me, you guys know how open I am. I'm very open. You can come to me and ask me anything. But if you're some lunatic that wants to, you know, abuse a city council member or something, I don't think I'm going to put myself in that position, to be real frank with you. So email or through the website of the city. I think that's the only way I'm going to do that. Thank you.
Mr. Bowman.
Well, that woman, the councilman, she must be a woman after my own heart, because I love coffee. So if you got coffee, why, give me a call, and I'll answer any question you want me to, because I believe in communication. And you can ask my wife. You'd be surprised the people I bring home that eats her wild blackberry pie and coffee. And like I said, I'll be there because I believe in communication, you know. And the last question, that's what we was talking about. We have to have communication. And that's the way people stay friends and stay connected, and we solve the problems. And I've always been a problem solver.
Mr. Davis.
Well, I've served on a number of boards in the past, the BLET Advisory Board, the National Negotiating Team, the Moberly Country Club, the Community Kitchen, and numerous college scholarship boards. I think I've always been accessible, and I'm used to people coming up and asking me questions on various subjects. My wife will tell you that as a labor representative, for the last 25 years, my phone rang off the hook from all parts of the country. And when I retired January 1st, I had withdrawal symptoms. I kept looking at the phone, wondering why it wasn't ringing. So as far as I think that answers your accessibility question. So.
Mr. Lawrence. You started. That's exactly right. That's what I was saying. I did not mess that up in any way. Mr. Kaiser, we are going to go to you.
Are you aware that the city has contracted with the Chamber for tourism services? Are you in support of these efforts to develop Moberly as a tourist destination?
Yes, I am aware. I've known Michelle and Megan at the chamber and speak to them regularly. Do I support it? Absolutely. We do need to find ways to bring more into our community, more business, more, give people a reason to come to us, spend our money. We actually, that increases our tax, sales tax from those sales, from restaurants eating at Corner Grill or Shady's or Nelly's. But the point is, though, so sales taxes help us increase our budget and pay for the things that we need. Tourism plays a major vital role in making that happen to increase those. So I absolutely do support it.
Mr. Fort.
Can you repeat that question, please?
Yes. Are you aware that the city has contracted with the Chamber for tourism services? Are you in support of these efforts to develop Moberly as a tourist destination?
I was not aware that we had contracted for that. I am now. I'm in support of it, depending on the depth of the contract and the cost of the contract. To be frank with you, I think it's a little premature for our city to be saying, hey, we need to be a tourism place. We have a lot of other things that we need to really focus on, I believe. You know, Rothwell Park's beautiful. We do have some things to be really happy there, and maybe we can get people to come and come to Rothwell Park and put their motorhome there. I don't know. I don't really see Moberly as a tourist attraction right now. So we really need to work on that. And some of the things that we need to do with our city, I think, to make it more of a tourist attraction is we need simple infrastructure repairs in our city. We have a lot of things that have to get done before we can say, hey, you know, tourists, come on over here. I've tried to bring businesses here, and I've had business owners tell me they don't want to stay in the hotels. They don't want to eat at the restaurants. I'm just going to tell you the hard facts. And, you know, they don't feel that this would be a good place for their businesses because there's not amenities that the executives and their businesses would require. So, you know, when we're talking about this tourist thing, I'm sorry to get off point on it. But to me, depending on the cost of that bond, that kind of money could be used elsewhere to better the needs of our city. So that's something, if I was a city council member, that I would want to look into a little bit closer to see if it's a waste of our money or not. I'm not sure.
Mr. Bowman?
I'm a firm believer in it. In fact, I'm such a firm believer. I've had Michelle at my house, and she's ate the best fried chicken in Missouri. But, no, she's done a presentation for us in January at our awards banquet at Main Street, and I wish all of you could have been there to see the work that she has done. I mean, that would tell you that we are a place that is attracting people to tourism. And yes, it's well money well spent, in my opinion. And this is one of the programs that each city or entity has to attract. You have to have that person, that single person. So she helps us develop. You know, this is one of the reasons that with the CID programs. In fact, afterwards, Mike, if you would like, I will explain to you. There's four different CID programs in Moberly where you can, this ain't free money. It's money that the owners of these businesses are paying in, but get back because of the laws that the state has done. So don't think it's free money. It's their own money to help improve the property so that Moberly, talk too much, I guess. Thank you.
And now you've made us all hungry for fried chicken. Yeah. Mr. Davis.
Well, it used to be a running joke when I was a member of the advisory board that every time we would have a meeting, I'd suggest that we had it in Moberly, Missouri. And these people in New York and Cleveland and Chicago scratched their head and said, what the hell's in Moberly, Missouri? But anyway, I'm proud of Moberly. I would support anything that would bring revenue into Moberly. And if anybody could pull off painting Moberly as a tourist attraction, I would say it would be our Chamber of Commerce people. So I wish them the best, and I'll give them all the support I can from the council.
Mr. Lawrence.
I am aware that our current council has contracted with the Chamber to do that, to supply that program. I think it's a wonderful thing. Anytime that we can partner with someone else or a different organization and support them financially to bring in more dollars, I think it's a good thing. I think one of the things that's missing here tonight is that we're talking about different programs, and I don't know if we can fund that. I don't know if we can fund that. These things fund themselves. The tourism money that the council is giving to them comes from taxes that are driven by people who stay in our hotels and do things like that. And so it's not money out of the general revenue that goes to them. These are places that we have set aside a budget line item for that money to go to. And so if we're not giving it to them to do something with, we're hiring an outside firm to come in and do something along that lines. So why not support people who live here and work here in Moberly?
Thank you for your answers to all the questions. We'll do closing statements in just a moment. I wanted to thank everyone that wrote questions. We had so many that there was no way we could possibly get to them all. That's awesome. So thank you guys for all of that.
You said at the end we might be able to rebut the end question.
You're going to get closing statements because we do not have time for additional rebuttal.
No problem.
But thank you for asking. For our closing statements, every candidate will get 2 minutes to do a closing statement, and we will go in opposite order as we went in for opening statements. So, Mr. Lawrence, you get to start us off.
Awesome. I remember being seated here 12 years ago when I was running for the school board for the first time. I had my agenda, and when I asked, I would share it. Whether you wanted to hear it or not, I told it to you. But soon after winning that election, I learned that being on a board or on a council is teamwork. And when the administration and the board worked on items together, we were able to accomplish our goals, not necessarily my agenda. In my years of experience, I've never run a city, but I am sure that my willingness to learn and be trained, along with the experience that I do have, will be able to help assist our current mayor, Mr. Jeffrey, our councilman, returning councilman, Mr. Brubaker, Mr. Kimmons, along with all the one other member of this forum tonight. I also think that working together with our city manager, Mr. Crane, and his staff will make the Magic City great again. I want to make this city of Moberly a place people want to live. I want it to be a place employers want to set up shop. I want it to be a place that employees want to work. I want it to be a place where all of its staff and employees are offered the salary and benefits that they deserve to get and are commensurate with other cities our size. Tonight, as I close, I ask the voters to go to the polls and to vote for the candidates that represent what you see for all the residents of Moberly, not only for a select few. As your next councilman, I know that I am able to work with the other members of this council and of the City of Moberly administration to make our Magic City a proud city and a place others will want to call home. If you like what you have heard, I ask that you exercise your right to vote next Tuesday on April the 2nd and vote for me, Jeff Lawrence, for City Council.
Mr. Davis?
Well, I've been greatly blessed with a wonderful wife, family, great friends, and a supportive church community at St. Pius Church. I resolved when I retired that I would find as many ways of giving back and paying these blessings forward as I could. I view the chance to sit on this council both as an honor and a way of giving back to a city that has given so much to me. I applaud my fellow candidates for their willingness to serve Moberly. I thank you, and I urge you to vote on Tuesday.
Mr. Bowman?
Well, I thank each and every one of you for coming out in the rain and being here. It makes it a little easier sometimes, even though I am tongue-tied. And so I thank you, and I thank the League Women Voters, and I also thank the people out in the radio land there that they're listening. And I also, like Jeff, urge you to vote. Whatever you do, please vote. And the gentleman standing in the back there in the uniforms, I thank you for your service and for being part of Moberly. And also like to thank the individuals here that I know that volunteer, because volunteerism is important to our community. And as we work as a team, not as an individual, but as a team, then we'll see great things happen in Moberly. And be proud of Moberly, because there is a lot to be proud of here in Moberly. You know, we've got, like you said, great restaurants that Austin is named off. We've got great businesses, but we have to shop locally. Be proud of your shops and places to shop down in Moberly or out on the mall. You know, these are places that instead of shopping on your computers. And the money stays here.
Mr. Fort.
Well, in closing, a couple of things. Finances are very, very important to me, and the finances of a city are important to me. And obviously, you can go online and pull up a form and see what the city says their financing are, but the meat's really more what I want to see. I don't want to just see what's on a form somewhere. I want to see how we're accounting for everything, what processes are in place in the city to make sure that money's not being misappropriated or spent unwisely. And I would think we wouldn't find any misappropriation, but every city in the nation spends money unwisely, and there's a lot of areas where we could probably tighten the belt in our city to drive more revenue to our city and be able to use it for our police department or other places in our city. A big, big deal for us going forward for Moberly, Missouri is infrastructure, and it's hard to explain that to everybody, but it really is. If we want businesses to come here and really drive our economy, which is what it takes, new jobs, then we're going to need a railhead. You know, we need better access to rail for our city. We need better hotel systems in our city. They've closed one here for problems that it had that I'm not going to mention here. But, you know, we need to have something there that's a little bit nicer. I don't know how many of you, somebody says we have nice restaurants. Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to down our restaurants. But nobody I knew for their anniversary was in Moberly for their anniversary dinner last year. I don't know anybody unless somebody tells me, hey, I did that, Mike. And that's great. I want to support our restaurants, and I want to support every business in our city. I just want to make sure as a city we're doing it as responsibly as we can fiscally, and that we're doing the best things for the people that live in our city, not just for a portion of the people, but for all the people. I've knocked on hundreds and hundreds of doors in this city sharing the gospel with people. And I've talked to people in our city over and over, and I've heard a lot of the things that go on. Sorry. Thank you. Hope you vote for me.
Mr. Kaiser.
Thank you. I recently had a conversation with an old classmate, and we were talking about how magical Moberly used to be back when we were growing up. Cole mentioned the Friday nights on downtown. And as I've stated, I truly believe that there is potential and opportunity for us to bring that back. Maybe it won't look the same, but we can bring that excitement back and that pride back to our community that we so desperately need. As I've said in my opening statement, I love proving the naysayers wrong. Help me say, hold my beer, let's go do this and do it right. If you choose to elect me, you'll have a councilman with conservative values who has a passionate love for this community. Let me be clear to all city employees, all departments. Please know that I am someone that appreciates your hard work and will strongly support you. Fellow members of our community, please know that I'm truly interested in hearing your ideas on ways that we can make Moberly great again. As you have seen this evening and heard, we have many challenges ahead of us. If elected, I will listen to everyone. I will seek out conversations with people likely affected, research the issue, and then make a decision on my position based upon what I believe is the best interest for all of Moberly, not just a select group. I strongly encourage people to get more involved, not just in criticizing, but getting more informed ahead of the decisions, understanding the issues, and making themselves heard. If elected, I will work with the city to develop more opportunities, like my quarterly town halls, for the community to hear information and be heard on important topics. For those of you on Facebook, please check out my page, @VoteForAustin, to learn more about me and what I stand for. Tomorrow, I will be posting more videos where I'll talk more about these questions and hopefully provide more information. If you have a follow-up question, email me, private message me on there. I'll be glad to include it and answer all the questions. I've been having a lot of fun doing it for the last couple of weeks now, and I'll gladly do my best to answer them. At the end of the day, again, all of the candidates here, it's about doing what's best for Moberly, all of us. And in closing, I'm asking for your vote on Tuesday, April 2nd. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. And I will remind you guys, when you vote on April 2nd, you can vote for two of the council members that were present today. Thank you. You can sit down.
All right, that's going to wrap up our broadcast of the Moberly-Randolph County League of Women Voters Forum. And don't forget, once again, that the election is on Tuesday, and we'll have election coverage, including results from the Randolph County Courthouse on Superstation Crest beginning just after 7:15. So again, thanks so much to the Moberly Randolph County League of Women Voters for putting on the forum this evening, and for the folks at the City Hall for their help and their cooperation as well. And also thanks to Corey for engineering things back at the radio station this evening. From City Hall in Moberly, broadcasting live on Quix, I'm Bob Ale. Have a very pleasant good evening.